amen that last portion of my sermon right there. Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this world, we will struggle. But Father, help us to take heart because your Son has overcome this world. Give us strength for the days that you have written down for us ahead of us in this world. And Lord, also give us joy amidst the sorrows that we will see in this world. And give us the hope of your Son's victory. Keep that in the forefront of our hearts and our minds. It's in your Son's name that we pray.
Amen.
You know, it's funny. This morning, I realized that God was not done helping me write my sermon this morning. He actually changed my opening because, as many of you know, I moved this week into my house. And, thank you to all the gentlemen who came and helped out, who could make themselves available and helped. But in that sense of moving, and there's still boxes stacked up everywhere, and having kind of a sparse refrigerator until I do some shopping today, and get ready for my family that's coming this week too, I had to go ahead and go through the drive-thru to get some breakfast and to get my cup of coffee this morning. And normally, when I go through the drive-thru, we expect fast food. We're trading the unnutritional food for its quickness, right? But obviously, they were serious there when they had all the help wanted signs, because they were lacking help. I think I sat in the drive-thru for about 20 minutes, and I began to kind of impatiently wonder, am I going to make it to the Bible study in time? Because there's two cars behind me, and there's a car ahead of me. I don't have four-wheel drive. I'm not getting out of here. Yes, we are in a world of high-speed internet. We are in a world of fast food. We are in the world of, hey, I texted you. Why weren't you texting me back right away? Or, hey, did you read my email yet? Now. Quick. Get on it as quick as we can, right? Long gone are the days where if you wanted to write a letter to someone across the nation, they stuck it on a post rider on a horse for the Pony Express, and it galloped as quickly as they could across the continent. We can overnight mail now. Get it done. Get it fast. Do it now. Immediately. We want it now. Instant gratification is certainly one of the many struggles that we have in our sinful hearts. But it's not just sin that makes us impatient. Sometimes we can long for something very good to happen. This week, a period of longing for me is coming to an end. Thanks be to God that my wife and children are going to come and join me from Arizona. We're going to be together. It's something that I've been waiting a long time for. And that's a good thing. Other times, we're kind of like little children, where it's like we look up to God and say, Daddy, I want to play now. I want it right now, right? The disciples, though, are gathered with Jesus today, the text we're looking at, the disciples were gathered with Jesus on a Passover night. That Passover night where Jesus would be betrayed and arrested in the garden and hung on a cross the next day. And Jesus is trying to teach them. And he says to them, there are many things that he wants to speak to them, and he had to wait. And he also is telling them that the Spirit of truth is going to come and help and guide them. And he goes on to say, for a little while, you are not going to see me. And then again, in a little while, you will. And the disciples, even though they know that Jesus has called himself the Son of Man, and even though he has said to them that he would be betrayed into the hands of men, crucified and die, and on the third day rise, they're still very confused by what all this means. Whether it's that's not how they want Jesus to go about things, they have better ideas for the Son of God, or whether it's just we cannot comprehend the things of God all the time. His ways are above our ways. For whatever reason, they weren't getting it. Jesus quite just said, you know, for a little while, I'm going to be gone. And he tells them later to explain it to them even more. You are going to feel sorrow. You are going to feel pain. But in a little while, you are going to have joy. A joy that no one can remove from you. That's a pretty powerful promise. A joy that nothing can take, that nothing can rob from you. That's a powerful promise. I want that kind of a joy. I'm sure you do too, right? We want that kind of a joy. But there's hardships in this world. We have to say goodbye sometimes. We have to go through periods of time where we might have to live apart from a family member. Perhaps it's because a move. Maybe it's because someone's in the military and a spouse had to go on deployment. Or maybe it's because someone has passed away and we miss them deeply and greatly. Death, in what seems to be such a mark of finality, comes. We all face this mortality. And it seems like for us, for a long time, we are not going to be with our loved ones. And yet Jesus says, in just a little while, you won't see me. And then in a little while, you will see me. There are two applications that can be made from what Jesus means, for a little while you won't see me, and in a little while you will see me. And I think they're both correct. They're both faithful applications. The first one is directly knowing where the disciples are at with Jesus. He had just washed their feet. He had just celebrated the supper with them. And he's teaching them. And he knows that he's about to be betrayed by Judas in the garden. He knows that he's about to be abandoned by them. He knows that he who is telling them, you are going to feel sorrow, he himself is going to feel the sorrows too. In fact, Isaiah called him in the prophecy a man of sorrows, the suffering servant, the one who would be pierced for our transgressions. And yet by his wounds we are healed. Jesus knew that they were going to feel sorrow after they abandoned him, and feel a deep sorrow after he died. And I guess you could say, in the context of Jesus, you know, accomplishing this in 3 days, hey, maybe that does seem like a little while. Because in a little while, we know that Jesus rose again from the dead. We're celebrating that season. He conquered death. And we've seen how the disciples, in some of our previous weeks, we've seen how they processed this, struggling with human unbelief and not being able to understand fully, and yet feeling this overwhelming joy. God has conquered death. The words of Thomas come back to us when he feels the holes in Jesus' hands and in his side. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." And even though Jesus told Thomas, "Blessed are you who believe and who have not seen," there's part of me that still wishes that I could see. I want to see my Savior face to face. I want him to bring the fullness of his kingdom. I want him to end all evil. I want him to end all suffering. I want to be able to see my loved ones who have passed away before me and who are there with Jesus now. I desire that. I want that. And I know you do too as well. That brings us to the second application of a little while. 40 days after Jesus ascended into heaven, or 40 days after Jesus rose again from the dead, the disciples gathered and watched him ascend into heaven. And Jesus had said, "It is good that I go to the Father, because then I can send you the Helper." Because 10 days after that was the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came to them, and that's when they began to not hide who Jesus was, because Jesus commanded them strictly, "Don't tell anyone I'm the Son of God yet." But that at that point was when he said, "Go and proclaim it." The Holy Spirit was with them in power, and they received it at that point in time. Beginnings of the church. But at that point in time, the disciples weren't physically with Jesus in person at that point. So for a little while, once again, they wouldn't see him. And yet, it wasn't 3 days. James, the brother of John, had the shortest time away from his Savior. We know that he was the first disciple who was martyred. Jerusalem. He got to see Jesus a little bit quicker. The disciples had to wait longer. The other disciples had to wait longer. For us, we might be thinking, "Man, I've been here." I'm not going to pick on anybody, right? But some of you are probably thinking, "Lord, I've been walking around this world for a long time." I've had some members, I had one member in my former congregation, a great man named Jimmy. His wife has gone to heaven before him, and he says, "I'm thankful for whatever days the Lord has given me, but in my 80s, if God feels it's right to take me, I'm fine with that." He feels fulfilled, he feels ready to see his Savior, he feels ready to meet him. A little while. That's a hard thing to struggle with for us because I'm impatient. I want my fast food pretty quickly, right? When I go through the drive-thru. The only time I expect my fast food to take a little bit is when I go through the In-N-Out drive-thru. That's always well worth it. When Jesus says in a little while, or we're talking about God, who has no beginning and has no end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Time is in his hands. He is outside of our comprehension. He is outside of our human philosophies that try to define the world. He is outside of our comprehension of time. So when he says a little while, I gotta say, in his perspective, he means a little while. Now, what are we promised because of that empty tomb? Why do we have this such wonderful joy? What victory does God share with us? What victory does the Son of God share with us? Because he rose again. Just as Christ died and rose, we too are going to die and rise again. Baptized into a death like his, we too shall rise in a resurrection like his. It's going to come. And how long is it? It's eternal. How many of you have seen the movie The Sandlot? Remember that line when they talk about the beast? The guy named Squids? And he says forever. That's our eternal promise. It is forever. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, because we're going to be in full glory like Jesus is. When we've been with him for over 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. There's a reason why I chose that hymn. What is 10 years of suffering in this world compared to eternity? What is 20 years of suffering? What is 30 years? 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100? All the turmoil in this world that we might experience, all the suffering that we might go through. What is that compared to eternal life? That's what we have received, is an eternal promise that we are going to be in a place where the sun is not going to scorch us, the wind is not going to dry us out and make us dehydrated. We're not going to have to worry here about wars or rumors of wars. There's not going to be any famines, any plagues. No more pandemics. No more turning on the 6 o'clock news, where if it bleeds, it leads. That's all going to be behind us. We are going to see our Savior face to face. And as it is written in the book of Revelation, we're not even going to need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun. Sun, S-U-N, right? We're not going to need that light. Because the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be our light. And we're going to be gathered with him. And with all our loved ones who died in his name. Your name is written in the book of life. That is, I don't know if you've ever, I saw in the new development that I live in, I saw some concrete that was freshly poured. And I just thought about a memory of when I was a kid and at my parents' house, they had some fresh concrete poured in the garage. I got to write my name with a nail in the concrete. It's written. As long as that concrete is there, it's etched in there. Well, eventually, someone is going to remove that piece of concrete and my name is going to be gone. But your name and my name is never going to be taken out of the book of life. It's etched in there. Because if you say, if you were able to say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he rose again from the dead, you are saved. And that is why, just as nobody, like last week when we talked about the Good Shepherd Sunday, how none can take him out of his, no one can remove us from his hand. No one can take your name out of that book of life. Therefore, no one can steal the joy that you have in Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is this. Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us to put our hope and joy in you and your Son above all things in this world. Because the things in this world are folly and foolishness. But you, Lord, are eternal and you are good. You are the giver of all good things. May our hope and joy be with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
May the peace of God which passes all understanding guard your hearts and minds and keep them from now until life everlasting.
Amen. Amen.